in choosing guru, one has to employ the heart and the brain. And that's what Rupa Goswami is telling in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's saying that when he's talking about sadasanga, he says sajati is snigda.
Yeah.
Sajati means you use your brain. Sajati means same family. Use your intelligence to find out what is this parampara, what is this siddhanta, what is this connection with guru. This is intellectual, reasonable, logical understanding. Then snigda, sajati is snigda. Snigda means sneha. Sneha means affection. This is in the plane of the heart. One is the plane of the brain, logic and reason. Discrimination, that's intelligence. But ultimately, intelligence, reason, logic can only go so far in spiritual dimension. Then your faith has to carry you forward. And faith is something that's intangible. Faith is something you have within yourself. So your heart's consideration is also ultimate. Because often we see that, as Prabhupada's Godbrother used to say, mercy over justice. So mercy over justice, the expression of mercy, justice, the law may be like this. You stole these things, your hands shall be cut off. That's the law. So the justice says you stole these things, and the law says you steal, your hands are cut off. So they discourage others from stealing. But then the king, he says, well, actually he's my distant relative, and this wouldn't look good for our family to kill my cousin. So then he steps in out of his love, out of his feelings, out of his heart, and expresses mercy, and he says, listen, I'm the king, and I have ultimate authority in this kingdom. So although the justice is there, the law is there, the court has decided, but I'm extending my mercy case, and I'm releasing him. So mercy is above justice. So mercy is expression of heart, expression of love, compassion, kripa. The soft side, that's why Radharani is kripa mayi, she's the soft side. Krishna tends to be a little hard. Radharani is a little soft. So this aspect of our own selves, our soft side, our heart side, has to also be considered. You might, because you may find by your logic or your logical approach that you're defining, by logical reason, you line up 10 gurus in ISKCON. You say, oh, they're all sannyasis, and they're all senior devotees, and they're all gurus, and they're all seem to know verses, and they're seriously serving their Guru Maharaj. Whatever criterion you logically, reasonably outline on the basis of Shastra, and maybe your own reasonable experience. But then you have to choose one. Now you go in the ice cream store, there's 32 flavors, and they're all made with milk and sugar and flavoring and some coloring. And somehow you choose one over the other, or two or three. So in a guru, so what's that choice? Because if the choice is only on the basis of reason, you say, I'll take all 10. They're all Prabhupada's disciples, they're all fixed up, they all know verses, they're all steadily serving, they all know how to, they all lead kirtan, they're all in the book distribution, they're all preaching, they're all traveling around the world. And there are 75 sannyasis in ISKCON. 70, 75 maybe altogether. And most all of them are gurus. And then, so then where are you left? Oh, gee, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, da 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 da, you know, it's like, she loves me, she loves me not. So then your heart has to come into play, and that's snigda. Where do you find a heart's connection, an affectionate connection? Where do you see the love? Because God is he's a God of love. Krishna is a God of love. We're worshipping a God of love, not the God of rules. Rama is a God of rules, and the God of power is Narayan. Narayan doesn't set up rules, but Ram sets up rules. Maryada Purushottam. And Narayan is the creator. He's a maintainer. So God, Krishna, is a God of love. So we're worshipping the God of love, so love must be part of the calculation in choosing his representative. Whatever you understand to be love. And that's your own intangible feeling. So everywhere they have mind over matter. There's mind over matter. Mind is more powerful than material energy. But then heart over mind. Heart is more powerful than mind. Even if something doesn't make sense mentally, or what to speak of logically, intellectually, but heart's too strong, so you do it. You know, king falls in love with some princess and he wants to kidnap her. And all his ministers advise him, this is not a good idea. This, our kingdom, we have so many soldiers, and our kingdom is so big, and our resources are so much, but you're trying to steal this princess. And that'll put us in war with that kingdom. And he has so many more soldiers and so many more successes in battle. And he's such a powerful kingdom, you're going to lose. You can't win. Why risk everything just because of your lust? Because of your heart's attachment to this princess. But the king, he says, oh, be quiet, shut up. Even though he gets good counsel and reasonable, logical explanation why he shouldn't attack, but his heart overrules his mind. So ultimately, bhakti is a condition of the heart. Where do you actually see bhakti? Where do you actually feel devotion, feel bhakti? Even you might find someone who doesn't know many verses or doesn't, he's not a big preacher, but he has a lot of bhakti. So what do you want? Do you want knowledge? Are we looking for gyan? Are we looking for knowledge? Or are we looking for love, bhakti, devotion? Whereas bhakti brings those things with it. That's right in the first canto. It says that if one serves Krishna, then automatically these other things come. So this is, you have to measure your prospective guru with your intelligence meter and your heart meter. I often ask people, I say, oh, you're already taking initiation from so-and-so. I say, what do you see in that person? What inspires you? What is the inspiration? I ask them, and then they tell me. Some people say the steadiness, the attachment to Srila Prabhupada, or the learning. And some people say the heart, the feel, the love, the loving mood I feel, the loving aura. So there's different ways to see it.
As guru, but one should know that
I get insufficient guidance.
Yeah.
Insufficient guidance on the path of self-realization.
Yeah.
He may not be able to have all his doubts removed. Yeah, but that's also only discussing the position of Diksha Guru. But that's not including the whole picture of Guru. If Diksha Guru is there, also Shiksha Guru. Because Raghunath Das Goswami and so many had Diksha Gurus that could tell them, tell them so much about bhakti and give them mantras or whatever. But until they came under advanced Shiksha, until they came under advanced shiksha, they weren't able to reach the fulfillment of bhakti tattva. For example, Raghunath Das was initiated by Yadunandan Acharya in Bengal. And of course, he's an associate of Lord Chaitanya himself. But we don't see it that Raghunath Das exhibited very much high devotional attainment with only that connection. He developed some renunciation from family life, and some attraction to Lord Chaitanya, and some attachment for bhakti, and very, very much attachment, some good ruchi, because he had nadanana sundaram. He had wealth. He had woman. Wife is more beautiful than goddess of fortune. He had more wealth than Indra, and fame. So he had ruchi for bhakti. So he gave up the ruchi in those things. But until he went to Puri for 16 years, and he came under the shelter of Sri Damodara. His teachings. And then he went deeper and deeper into renunciation, became totally renounced. But we don't read anything about his understanding of Manjari Bhava or anything. Then he came here to commit suicide in a desperate mood because Lord Chaitanya disappeared. And then Sri Damodara disappeared. There was no reason to live anymore. He was a devotee, Lord Chaitanya, and a disciple of Sri Damodara. So Guru and God both disappeared. So there's no more reason to live. God is not there. Guru is not there. Why live? So he came to put Giriraj back and then give his body. And then Rupa Goswami, he met Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami started to instruct him. And then he wrote Stavavali and Tanke Lichintamani and all these things, Vilakrasamandali. So Rupa Goswami, acting as Shiksha Guru, completely elevated him to the topmost understanding of Vraja Bhakti and Gopika Bhakti and Manjari Bhav, Sadhana, which he wrote extensively about and practiced here in Braj, not in Puri. So what level Riyadananda Acharya is on in terms of guru or his realization or his capacity to advance or elevate Raghunath Das Goswami, that's a discussion. But we see in his own life that he had a Diksha Guru, but he received lots of support and encouragement and advancement from the Association of Shiksha Gurus. So it's not that it's a closed circuit. That you have your Diksha Guru and that's it. You're in a vacuum. It's just you and your Diksha Guru. And then you can't go any further than that vacuum. There's now no air to breathe, no space to move. Now this guru is a wide open field, because Chaitanya Charitamrita says you can have one Diksha Guru but unlimited Shiksha Gurus. And Dukhi Krishnadas, he was a disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya, and then he came and took Shiksha from Jiva Goswami, and ultimately got Radharani put her tilak on his forehead and made tilak with her ankle bell. So there's innumerable cases of disciples going further than the guru due to taking higher shelter, seemingly further than the guru due to taking higher shelter, advanced shelter of Shiksha Gurus. The main idea is get enrolled somewhere. Like you may go into some college, and it's not a very good college, but you get enrolled. And you start learning, you're enrolled in college, and you stay for a couple of years, and then from there you transfer to a better school. Because when you try to get into that better school to begin with, but they wouldn't accept you. So you went into a lesser demanding school, and you had very good performance there in college itself. So when you applied again to that same college, they appreciated your service record and your grades in the lesser college. So then they accepted you in a more advanced and competent college, and then you were able to further deepen your studies in that better college. So, but if you don't go to some college, couldn't get into the one good school, so then you're left nowhere. And rather, you say, well, I can't get into that good school, so I'll forget it, no higher education. Many people do like that. I can remember when I was in college. So I had some buddies, I'm transferring. Where are you all going? To this other school. Oh, I said, how'd you get in there? Well, I did very good grades, and they have some policy for accepting transfer students. So you may have... Get started somewhere, and Krishna will adjust. But getting started somewhere means have faith in someone somewhere, and start something.
Yeah, but this looks like some type of entanglement. I mean that.
There's no loss. Krishna says in Gita, there's no loss in this endeavor. Entanglement means you're connected with Krishna. It's not an entanglement. Entanglement is a material world.
No, I mean that I can understand that, you know, okay, I took an initiation, I took it from one devotee, you know, he's supposed Madhumathika and he's spiritual man, but then, you know, after maybe one or few years, for example, I came to Radha Kumant and meet some, elevated devotee. And then I am starting to serve to him and get a diksha or get a shiksha from him, you know.
Yes.
So,
what's the harm?
How to save, you know, loving and respectful mood toward my diksha guru, because I got much more from my shiksha guru.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I already gave you an example of that. The heart is not so small. It can't accommodate, you know, it can accommodate more than one relationship. And human beings aren't like flies. They can have many, many relationships. We have a relationship, a loving mood and relationship reserved in our heart for our mother and our father and our brother and sister and our grandmother and so many people. So have a portion of our heart reserved for a Diksha Guru, and then to accommodate any number of Shiksha Gurus, well-wishers. It's all one continuum. It's called Akanda Guru Tattva. That means unbroken. The tattva is unbroken. It's a mercy representation of Krishna. So if I go to college and I have a father, my father teaches me the basics of carpentry. But then I have an uncle who builds houses. He takes blueprints and he builds a complete house. But my father just taught me about sawing and making corners and a few things practical. So then my uncle says, well, if you come with me, I can teach you how to build a house from blueprints, from scratch. A to Z. and you'll really further your understanding of construction. So what's your father going to say? Oh no, you just stay here and cut wood. You do cross cut and straight cut, and that's all. And then you put this wood in a vise, and you put some glue on it, and you set it. And why you want to go and learn blueprints? Why you want to build houses? Why you just stay here and saw wood? So any father would want his son to progress and to learn more about a field he's interested in, naturally. And he wouldn't suffocate him and restrict him because of his own limitations in that field. Well, the same thing with Guru. Guru sees that his sajatiya, same family and some proper channel, then certainly he'll give blessings, as did Yaranandan give blessings to Raghunath Das to go to Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, and like this. So, and Hridaya Chaitanya was at first upset with Dukhi Krishnadas because he adopted a new name, Shamananda, and new Tilak, and started a new Sampradaya. So he came here and slapped him and gave him, chastised him. And then he had a dream himself. And Radharani said, look, I've accepted him. And then he felt so repentant, he fell at his disciples' feet crying, begging for forgiveness. So that scenario that you outlined, you have a Diksha Guru, then you find superior Shiksha, then that Diksha Guru should be more than happy. I know one Guru Bhai, he had his disciple wanted to take shelter of Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who was obviously more advanced in so many ways than this other Guru Bhai. So then the Guru Bhai, being broad-minded, he said, yes, you go there, you stay in Bhuvaneshwar, you serve Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and you learn from him, and you advance in bhakti. And if you learn anything good, please tell me. If you pick up any good things, send me an email or let me know. Call me, collect, I'll talk to you at my expense. Now this is love and trust.
Yeah, my teacher in the school, she's really know so much about this material world and about ego. I can understand how Dukhi Krishna does. He was so respectful to Hridaya Chaitanya, but even when Hridaya Chaitanya beat him.
The thing is, Krishna, if you're really Krishna conscious, you won't make these kind of mistakes. In other words, you'll be able to adjust your relationships. It's not like if you have a mother and you have a wife, and I'm afraid if I get married and I show so much love for my wife, my mother will get envious. Of course, that happens also. But then I may diminish my love for my mother, and maybe I shouldn't get married because that would be. It's not like that. You shouldn't have these. These are kind of unfounded fears, really. And Krishna will help you adjust everything. Because, when you see, if you see Guru as Krishna's representative, then you won't, and Krishna's manifesting in some percentage of one Guru and another percentage of another Guru, then you'll see it's one. Oh, my Guru is manifesting more over here. The Guru is one. Krishna is a Guru. Oh, Krishna manifested here and gave me Diksha. And he only knows so much. But that was more than what I knew at that time. I know nothing. And so he's given me this much. And now Krishna's led me to the shelter of this other Guru, Shiksha Guru. And he's giving me more. But this is the nature of love, that one always feels grateful. Gratitude. Of course, Kali Yuga, there's not much gratitude. But in general, this is a symptom of love. One feels grateful. And you just see that when you see that Guru is, Krishna is manifesting here, because that's where I was, and Krishna came in this form of this Guru, because this is what I needed. He's what I needed at that time. I needed him, and he helped me, and I can't forget him. I can't bite the hand that feeds me, as they say. He fed me, he nourished me, he got me walking. And that's nice. Now I have to start running, and this other teacher is going to teach me how to run. But I can't forget. How can I forget the one that taught me how to walk? That would be very limited. That means you're a very shallow understanding of Krishna consciousness. Krishna came and taught me how to stand on my two feet. So I'm thankful, I'm grateful. And then now Krishna teaching, this other form of Krishna came and taught me how to walk. I'm also grateful. So anyway, I was mentioning, I had a list, I made this list of my Shiksha Gurus, and there was about 15 Shiksha Gurus on the list. And I was appreciating all of them. All of them have different they all contributed to my progress. It's like when you produce a book, you write a book or something, or print a book, then there's something called acknowledgements. Acknowledgements. I like to thank so-and-so for editing, and so-and-so for painting, and so-and-so for proofreading, and so-and-so for donating for printing, and so-and-so for layout, and so-and-so for Sanskrit, you know, diacritics, and so-and-so for encouragement, and all these things. So it's the same thing in spiritual life. I like to thank the Super Soul, Krishna, for not forgetting me. I like to thank my mother and father. You know, I like to thank my father because he took me to church. I like to thank my uncle because he gave me a Bible. And it's like this, you know. This is a progressive man. When one becomes a Muni, or broad-minded, a Brahmin, then his mind and heart open at the same rate. And so the mind that becomes spiritually open also follows with a spiritually open heart. Then you start to appreciate, oh yes, my father was quite good actually. He didn't know all the things my teachers knew, but he pointed me in the right direction. It's even in Vedas they have descriptions. Vartma Pradarshika Guru, Vartma Pradarshika Guru, Chaitya Guru, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. And they have terms like Sadguru, Samasti Guru, Param Guru, Paratara Guru, Samasti Guru. It's different terms. And these are different representations of God, representatives of God. So Vartma Pradarshika Guru is one of points out the Vartma. Pradarshika means shows you the path. So maybe your grandmother, what are you doing? You're going to college and you want to be like your son, your brothers, and go into business and have a family. Why don't you be a saintly person? Be a saint. Be a sadhu. Really, Grandma? What do you think? Yes, you know, one of our family members was actually a saint, you know, our great-great-grandfather. Why don't you be like this? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I remember once I was on vacation with my wife, and I was speaking about material life was boring to me, and I was feeling a great sense of detachment and disappointment from material activities. And she looked at me and she said, wow, the way you're talking, you should become a monk. You should become a monk. Monk means like sannyasi. Monk, M-O-N-K. Not monkey, monk. Monk means like a vairagi, a sadhu. Christian monk. Celibate. So you should become like a monk. And I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, really? Yeah, me a monk, sure. Now, little did I know that somehow destiny would unfold, that I would become some sort of monk, or monkey maybe more like it, but at least technically or externally I'm designated according to Vedic Dharma, Ashram Dharma, I'm designated as a monk, sannyasi, in terms of upadis. But the Padma Puran says, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevena Bhakti Uchate. All these upadis have to go. The only designation or upadi that one's permitted to have is das, 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 on the das. Right? Lord Chaitanya taught that. Aham vipra nacha narpadinati vaishana shindra. So I'm not a Brahmin, Kshatriya Vaishya, Sannyasi, Brahmacharya, what am I? Servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. Gopi Bhartiya Padakamalaya Das. Das, Das, Anadas. This verse is from Narada Pancharatra, which goes back to back with a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which defines pure bhakti. This is where it first appears, this concept. Because Rupa Goswami, he describes it Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Jnana karmad yanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilam bhakti uttama. And here it says sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchate. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam means mukti, freedom from all kinds of material designations, or free from all desires except the desire to serve Radha and Krishna. Tat paratvena, the sole purpose of pleasing the divine couple. Nirmalam, uncontaminated by the effects of speculative knowledge and fruitive activity. So this is jnana karma dhyanavritam. Anavritam means covered by jnana karma. So this is nirmal. Nirmal means dirt, so no dirt. Karma is dirty and jnana is dirty. It's contamination of the pure desire to love Krishna, serve Krishna. Rishikena, purified spiritualized senses. Rishika Isha, master of the senses, Sri Krishna. Sevanam, service to satisfy Krishna, bhakti, pure devotional service, Uchyate is called. So this is the Narada Muni's giving definition, Narada Pancharatra, what is pure bhakti. It's the same as Rupa Goswami's.
Yeah, right, this is perfect. I can't, do like this and give up all my,
Well, the famous phrase, Rome wasn't built in a day. Or let's make it more particular, make it more closer to our own understanding. The temple of Govindaji wasn't built in a day. It was started in 1540 and was opened in 1590. 40 years it took to build the temple of Govindaji. Rupa Goswami left in 1564. He never saw the temple. It's funny to say, it's Rupa Goswami's temple.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess it's made in honor of him or Govindaji or whatever. Govindaji stayed there from 1590 to 1670, 80 years. And then the Aurangzeb attacked there, then Govindaji moved to Radhakund, then to Kamban, then to Jayapur. And he's been there ever since, 1670. That's a long time. 1670, 1970, 300 years, 337 years. That's nice. Radha Govinda Deva Ki Jai. I think, a lot of these speculations and hesitations and doubts and confusions. You've taken Diksha or you're not taking Diksha? They're resolved when you take Diksha. Because when you get come under shelter of Guru, then things become a little clear. What's hazy becomes clear. This is part of the special dispensation of mercy that happens when one's initiated. Then it's like being in a boat in the ocean and going here and there, the waves are tossing you. And then you go into find some island and you pull your boat into the harbor. And then you anchor your boat and everything's peaceful. So when you get connected with Guru, there's some shelter there, some anchoring, some peace comes there. And when there's peace in the mind, then you can feel some happiness and make some good progress, some sense of security, safe harbor, home comfort. As Sridhar Maharaj used to say, home comfort. You've traveled here and there and you enjoy different things, so when you come home, then you feel comfortable. This, your house, your rooms, your fixtures, your chairs, your furniture, your relatives, your friends, it's a home environment, it's supportive, it's feels good, it's comfortable, home comfort. So when we get connected with Guru, then we feel some home comfort, some relief. And this is told in bhakti. There's six characteristics of bhakti, and the first two is Shubhada and Kleshagni. So Shubhada means beginning of auspiciousness. So auspiciousness makes us feel good. Auspicious people, auspicious places, auspicious food. These are beneficial things, good things, auspicious, good. So this Shubhada, this fact of Guru Parashraya, taking shelter of Guru and taking initiation, this is this Shubhadha, this gives auspiciousness. This makes our life auspicious. Our life becomes auspicious under the shelter of Guru, even in the beginning, from day one. Chanting under his water, serving under his water. That's why it's called a shelter. It's the first limb of bhakti. There's 64 limbs of bhakti. What's the first one? Guru Parashraya. You take Diksha, then you get Shiksha, then you serve. Guru Pad was Vishrambina Gurur Seva. Serving a guru with respect and with faith and devotion. So all these good things come. I found a guru. It's like being burned, you're burned up, you know, you're just burning, your clothes are on fire, and you're running, and it doesn't help the fire any. It burns faster. But you're running with your clothes on fire, then you see a lake, cool freshwater lake in the forest, and you jump in. So the first thing it does, it puts out the fire, so there's no more burning. And the second thing, you feel some relief. You feel the cool water embracing your body and taking away the pain and heat of the fire. So that's why Vishnu Chakravarti says, Samsaradavan Alalitaloka. Samsaradavan Alalitaloka. Samsaradavanala. This material life is like a forest fire. Davanala. Lida means afflictions, pains, sufferings, burnings, anxieties, troubles, doubts, confusions, fears, anxieties. This is all Alita. Samsaradavan Alalitaloka. Everyone here is like that. Chanaya Karanya Gunaganatvam. That he is like, I'm in the forest fire and Guru is like a huge rain cloud. Because when the forest fire is burning, so many fire trucks, fire brigade can come out with a hose. They can't pump enough water. They have these pumpers that pump water from some fire hydrant, some like water tap in the street. And they can't put out a big fire. When the trade center was burning up, they couldn't put out that fire because it was being propelled by jet fuel. The gas tanks on the jet plane, they poured down, the steel was on fire. The firemen had to stay about, you know, they couldn't even get near the building. They were like a block away, there was so much heat, they would just burn the heat wave from the melting steel, the cement and steel was melting. So that's the kind of fire we're in samsara. So then we get the rain shower comes, and we can get. You can only put out a forest fire if the big torrential rain downpour comes. So that's Guru. Guru is the torrential downpour of mercy and love, compassion, mercy, knowledge. Guru Kripahi Kevalam. They say in Hindi, Guru is everything. That I can see. I can say that. I somehow got the fortune to attain Guru in this life. And Vedas say in every life we get mother and father, but not in every life we get Guru. Guru Varam Mukunda Preshtatve Smaraparam Ajasram. This is Rupa Goswami's Manashiksha. Always remember, meditate on Sri Gurudev. As very dear to Sri Mukunda, because he is very dear to Srimati Radhika, being her confidential servitor. So Raghunath Das is saying that a bona fide guru, this is the position of a bona fide guru, and one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his interrelationship with Mukunda. Like, what is this? What is this relationship? This is a verse, this is interesting purport in relation to Guru. This is Nikunja Yuno Ratiki Li Siddhai Yaya Livir Yuktir Apekshaniya. Vishnas, this is a Guruvastagam, number 6. Translation, Sri Gurudev is always present with the Sakis and Mandris, arranging for the perfection of Yugal Kishore's amorous pastimes, Ratikeli, within the Kunjas of Braj. So now Bhakti Santa Saraswati, he makes a comment on this. Can one worship Krishna without being under the guidance of Sri Guru? Never. Only by getting the favor of the most favored is it possible to cultivate Krishna consciousness. When one is not under the guidance of the most favored, one will not find anything favorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness or for the pursuit of Krishna's happiness. Our only aim in life is to cultivate Krishna bhakti. This can only be done under the guidance or instruction of a pure devotee. Sri Barshabhanavi Devi, Srimati Radhika, it's very interesting who's speaking this. This is Bhaktisanta Saraswati's diksha name from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, was Barshabhanavi Devi Dayitya Das. So the servant of the beloved of Barshabhanavi Devi. So basically it's the name of Krishna. Because the beloved of Barshabhanavi Devi is Krishna, because Barshabhanavi Devi is Radharani. He's a servant of Krishna, serving Krishna through Radharani. Very beautiful name, Barshabhanavi. Because Barshabhanavi means the daughter of Barshabhanu. So he's saying here in his own words, Siddhanta Saraswati, Sri Barshabhanavi Devi, Srimati Radhika, is most favored by Krishna. Worshipping her is most favorable for worshipping Krishna. No one is more favorable than Sri Radha. Those who are very dear to Srimati Radharani are all our spiritual masters in the Rupanuga line. We, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are more on the side of Radharani than on the side of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Gurudev is not a different representative of Srimati Radhika. This is quite good. Beautiful purport.
But you know, this is so much, you know, subtle dimensions.
You can't see. You can't see when you're born either, but that doesn't mean you don't have eyes. Well, like you grow, you learn, you grow up, you grow and learn to see. And the baby doesn't know too much either. He can't even see. His eyes are just, he can't see anything. And then he grows and his eyes start functioning. So as we grow, our eyes start functioning. As we grow in bhakti, our eyes start functioning, our external eye and our internal eye. Because our eyes are guru chakshush and shastra chakshush. As we grow in the service of Guru, we get Guru Chakshush. And as we grow in service of Shastra and study more and more, then we get Shastra Chakshush. The eye of Shastra and the eye of Guru. Oman Ganati Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So this vision coming from Guru and Shastra allows us to see ourselves, first of all, Sambandhagan. Who are we? What is our relationship with Krishna in this world? And ultimately, what is our eternal relationship with Radharani and Krishna in that world? First, we have to understand our relationship in this world. So that's first sambandha. That's the Krishna sambandha, sambandha tattva. Then prem sambandha, that comes when we develop higher vision, internal vision, antardrishti. So our sight is always improving. We're not going blind with old age. With all materialists, as they get older, they get more blind. They get glaucoma or cataracts or whatever. And they can't see a thing. All they see is opacity, some light. And they can't distinguish images. But as a devotee grows older and older in bhakti and devotion and surrender, then he gets better and better vision. Internal vision. Spiritual vision. Veda vision. Somebody has a book publishing company called Veda Vision. So I guess Krishna vision. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Santaksadevriyeshu Vilokiyanti. Yamshama Sundaram Achintya Gunasarupam. Gunasarupam, his sarup and his guna, his qualities and his form are inconceivable. God's form, Shamasundara's form. But they can be seen. You can't conceive it, but you can see it. That's interesting. He's saying, Bhakti Vilochan, when we have the eye of devotion, then we can see that which is inconceivable. You can't think about it. You can't understand it with logic or reason, Krishna's transcendental form, quality, or pastimes. They escape us. But with the eye of devotion, we can not only understand it, but we can see it as it is. So this is the maturation of bhakti. It's developing the eyes to see Krishna. And developing the eyes to see Radha and their pastimes, Radhika Sham. Iridari Sham, Hari Marari, Shama Pyari, Govardhana Dari. I wrote one song once with the names of Giriraj. Giridari Sham, Hari Marari, Shama Pyari, Govardhana Dari. Govinda Gopal Shilara Lila, Priya Priyatam Shishama Sham. Kishore Kishore Radha Murli Da Radhika Hari Radha Dama Da Radha Raman. Let's see. Radha Pramod, Jaya Radha Vinod, Radha Raman, Radha Madan Mohan, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Sri Radhe. These are names of Krishna that are very dear to Radharani and Krishna. Giridhari Shama Hari Marari, Shama Pyari Govardhanadari. So, seek and ye shall find.
Then how I will change to Guru Varsaka, having a guru, like that.
Yeah, well, that's what they generally, sometimes they break the Guru Varsaka down and say that the first four verses apply to Madhyam, Adhikari, Guru. And the last four verses, they describe the Bhava Bhakta or Prema Bhakta. Because in level of Bhava, one realizes his Sarup, especially the higher level of Bhava. Level of Prema, he's actually engaged in Rati Keli Seva. In his internal body, Antas Chintadeya. So the prayer is Guru Vashtagam, so all gurus are on different levels. But it's accepted that way, that the first four verses can apply even to Madhyam Adhikari. He can be experiencing some dim reflection of sattvic bhavas, Ramancha Kampash, Ashu. And he may experience and of course not exhibit them. That's his prerogative. Some crying, some tears, melting of the heart. This happens even at Ruchi. At the level of Ruchi, there's melting of the heart. There's some softening of the heart, maybe some tears, some trembling, some hair standing on end. This is all that's told, three. There's eight sattvic bhavs, only three are mentioned there. Ramanchakampa, Ashruta, Rangabhaja. Sri Vigarhara, he's doing deity worship. Sri Vigarhara, Dhanantinana, Shringara, Dhanamandiravan, Yuktasi Bhakti, he's engaging others in deity worship. Mahaprabhu Kirtan Anita Gita Vaditramadhyan Romanchakampa. So when he's chanting Kirtan or holy name, maybe privately, he doesn't want to show, but he may himself experience even a Madhyam Adhikari at the level of Ruchi. But Nikanja Yuna Rati Keli Sidai. Then you have to see that, okay, I have my Madhyam Guru and he is going in that direction. But he's here, he's on verse 4. But he's going to verse 5. Otherwise, it's all dynamic. It's all dynamic and ecstatic. It's not static and boring or whatever the opposite of ecstatic is. It's dynamic, not static, and it's ecstatic, not dull, let's say here. Unchanging. Guru is also advancing. Even Krishna is telling, I don't understand Radharani. Radharani says, Prem Guru. Radhika Prem Guru Ami Shishyana Nat. He said, I am dancing as to my Prem Guru, Radharani. So even Krishna, he's looking at Radharani and she changes from moment to moment. This is a symptom of anurag, that the Radharani sees now is a different Radharani 5 minutes later. To such an extent that sometimes under the influence of anurag, prema, Radharani doesn't even recognize Krishna. And the gopis say, see that boy standing on the hill? And Radharani says, oh, he's very beautiful. Who is he? What do you mean who he was? Who is he? You were just 2 hours ago, you were in a cave for 3 hours with him in Govardhan. You were in a cave during it was raining, and then it stopped raining and he came out. You met us here, and now we're going back to Yavat, and then now he's watching you. Oh, I've never seen him before. What is his name? And then Lita Saki says, what are you talking about? You don't know his name. That's Shamsundar, Krishna Damodar. Shamsundar? Who is this Shamsundar? That's a very beautiful name. I never heard before. Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, everything seems totally fresh, new, mystifying, ever attractive, all attractive, all attractive and ever attractive and always attractive and ever newly attractive. This is Krishna and Radha. So the same thing is there. in spiritual life, it's always new, it's always dynamic, it's always increasing, it's always improving. Vardhan. Vardhan means improving. So guru is that, guru maybe, it's not like in a school, the teachers and he's a fifth grade teacher and you come into fifth grade and you come back 50 years later, he's still a fifth grade, he's fifth grade teacher and he only knows fifth grade subjects. it's not like a school teacher in the material world. This is a spiritual teaching and he's also practicing sadhana. So you meet the guru and he teaches you something, ABC, because he knows ABC. But 10 years later, he may know more than ABC. he knows DEFGHIJKLMNTP. And 30 years later, he knows A to Z. Because if you can advance, why he can't? You can advance, but guru can't. You can go from Kanishtha to Madhyam, but a guru is forever damned to be a Madhyam. He can't become Madhyam Kanishtha or Madhyam Madhyam or Madhyam Uttam. Even they have divisions like this. Madhyam Kanishtha, Madhyam Madhyam, Madhyam Uttam. Then Uttam Kanishtha, Uttam Madhyam, and Uttam Uttam. Depending on the level of faith and attainment and realization, these divisions are there. So, if it works, if the process of bhakti, devotional service, works for the disciple, it must also work for the guru. So the idea that we'd like to have as a disciple, progressive idea, is, well, my guru is always one step ahead of me. So as long as I feel that way, that he's one step ahead of me, then I have one more step to learn, because he knows one more step than I do. With that humility and that submission in that regard, then we can go forward. Oh yeah, I'm catching up now. My guru was 10 steps ahead of me. Oh, now he's only 9. Oh, but now look. Oh, now he just made 5 more steps. Now he's 14. Oh, I have to work really hard. Oh, now look, I'm catching close. Like they say, well, at least they had this phrase, my guru may be right. My guru may be right, he may be wrong. He's always right. This is the faithful, maybe you can say blind even disciple, but let's say certainly faithful disciple. And that's one quality that Chanakya Pandit says we should learn from the dog. To be satisfied with many qualities. Be satisfied with very little food. And sleep very lightly with one eye open. And always be faithful. These are 3 qualities. I think there may be more. But 3 qualities that a disciple can learn from a dog. Be satisfied with whatever food is thrown your way, whatever you get. And just eat it and be happy and go to sleep. And sleep very lightly. Always be alert. Always be alert. Always be watching. Oh, when is death coming? I have to be ready. Where is death? Where is death? I have to be on the lookout. Oh, here comes death. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then always on the lookout and sleep very lightly and faithful. My guru may kick me. He may beat me with a stick. He may come home and he got angry with his wife, or he got angry with the boss, got on his case. And he says, oh, you stupid dog. And he kicks me in the backside. Ow, 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 ow. And I think, oh, why did he get on my case? I'm watching the house all day and chasing any burglars or monkeys that come over here. And I'm not doing anything but doing my duty and serving nicely. Then he comes home, he's on a bum, in a bum mind, in a bad mind. Then he kicks me in the backside. And then I whimper and cry and put my tail between, like, ow, 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 ow. And then later on he comes and he pets me on the head. About 2 hours later he comes and pets me. Oh, nice dog, nice dog. And he gives me some biscuits. I can't figure out this master. He's very strange. Anyway, I can't leave him because I don't know anything but this master. Sometimes he beats me. And then sometimes he pets me on the head and gives me some biscuits. Some mahaprasad, some laddus or some dota or whatever. I can't figure this master out, but I don't have any other master. I was wandering around the streets of the city and I was sick, I was skinny, my hair was all falling out, and I didn't have any friends in the city, and then my master picked me up. He took me in his house and he treated me nicely, gave me medicine, got me fixed up, he shampooed my hair and he gave me a collar and he gave me a little doghouse and he gave me some service to watch over here. And he gave me position. I'm part of the household. I'm the household dog, pet dog. So I feel indebted. I can't leave my master. So even a dog has this loyalty, this sense of faithfulness. So sense of loyalty. What to speak about human beings, how much loyal and faithful we should be to our beloved Savior, our beloved Savior and Gurudev. Hell or high water, we have a phrase in America. Hell or high water, I can't leave my Guru. And it goes to such an extent, my Guru, he may be right, he may be wrong, but he's always right. Because over the years, I'm trying to serve my Gurudev Srila Prabhupada. And so many attacks have come against Prabhupada. Oh, he doesn't know Sanskrit, and big smart pundits, of course they were previously in ISKCON anyway. Then they go out and start their own institutes and missions, and then they start saying, oh, Prabhupada doesn't know Sanskrit, and this word is mistranslated, and he doesn't know the Bhagavatam. And they say so many things. But what can I say? I just fold my hands and say, Jai Gurudev. Prabhupada, you saved me. I was drowning. I was about to die. And you picked me up from the ocean. And no matter what anybody says, you're my guru. And because that's just the way guru-shishya relationship is. If you find genuine guru. Because what's right and wrong anyway? Right and wrong is ultimately a relative consideration. Sanskrit is unlimited. There's thousands of meanings for every word. So what you may say, you're right and my guru is wrong. Swami Bhaktivedanta, he's wrong, and I studied Sanskrit and I'm right. And this is correct. Who's authorizing you? Who's authorizing you to be correct? Who's authorizing your translation or your opinion to be the bona fide one? Why is it more bona fide or authorized than my own guru? So it's like this. Faith is the greatest wealth that one has. There's no greater wealth than faith. If you have it, then invest it. And if you don't, try to get some. If you have it, then you invest it, then it grows, then you increase your capital. So faith deposited in Krishna gives great dividends and great gains, capital gains. And faith deposited in a proper devotee also gives great capital and great gain. So I'm getting some dividends from my investment in Prabhupada, and I'm trying to reinvest them in the same company to increase my faith. So many of my God brothers have gone here and there, gone to the Babaji Sampradayas, or not Sampradayas, but gone to Babaji's and here and there. It's not so easy that you can just walk in a room somewhere and get your Siddha Pranali and walk out and be in Gopi Bhav. First comes Bhav, then comes form. It's not first comes form, then comes Bhav. So our Gurudev was emphasizing that. Try to develop the Seva Bhav. Seva Bhav, then ultimately Gopi Bhav. As Sridhar Maharaj used to say, the agents from above will come down and lift us up to that quarter. Like there's a big party going on with all really rich people and don't even know them, and they're all highly qualified and wealthy, influential people. But someone might say, there's not enough people in this party, let me bring a few more people. So then he goes out in his Rolls Royce and he drives around. You're sitting in the park. What are you doing? I'm just watching the birds. I'm not doing much. So look, we're having a big party here, all the richest people in town, why'd you come? Oh, me? Yeah, come on. Okay. And you get in a Rolls Royce and they drive in, and then he introduces you. See, look, and they don't know your name. He said, well, what's your name anyway? Oh, Bhakti Joe. That's right. Look, everyone listen, this is Mr. Rockefeller, this is Bhakti Joe. This is Mr. Rothschild, this is Bhakti Joe. And Mr. Bill Gates, this is Bhakti Joe. And then this is, this one, that one, all Mitsubishi and Yamaha and Honda and all these guys. This is Bhakti Joe. Oh, Bhakti Joe. So you get accepted there by the higher agents. So that's what has to happen. Rupa Mandri, Raghunath Das, Rati Mandri, they introduce us there. No permission, no submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So first there must be Sharanagati, Agya, and Pravesh. Agya means order. Permission, Agya. Sharanagati, surrender, agya, order, permission, then pravesh, entrance, admission, pravesh, griha pravesh, like that. If one is well versed in Krishna tattva, he should be accepted as guru. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kenenai ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hai. This is from Madhya Leela. This is spoken by Lord Chaitanya, because some people might criticize that he's a Brahmin by birth and a sannyasi. His varna is Brahmin, Mishra, and his ashram is sannyas. He was taking instruction from a kayast. Ramananda Roy is like Shudra, a kayast. So then people say, how is it? He's Brahmin and he's sannyasi, he's taking instruction from a kayast or a sudra, because of course Ramananda Roy is Lalita Sakhi. Is Vishakha Sakhi Ramananda Roy, and Surav Damodar is Lalita. So then Lord Chaitanya, when this kind of mood was there and people might question, then he spoke this verse himself to clear the air. Kiva Viprakimi Nasi Sudra Kenanai Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hai. Krishna Veda Tattva. If he knows of Krishna Veda, Veda means like no, like Veda. If he knows Krishna Tattva, it doesn't matter whether he's Vipra, like me, or whether he's a sannyasi. It's interesting, he says, Kiva Vipra. Whether he's a Brahmin, like me, I'm a Vipra, or Kiva Nyasi, or he's a sannyasi, like me, or Shudra Kenanai, or he's a Shudra, like him, Ramananda Roy. It's very interesting when you see this verse. It's all first person. I never really thought about it till just now. Generally, we think of it just philosophically. Well, Lord Chaitanya said if someone is a Brahmin or he's a sannyasi or he's a Shudra, he can be guru. We think of it like that. But when you think of it in the context of who is speaking? A Vipra and a sannyasi was speaking. To who? To a Shudra. And so he used these three words. He could have said, whether one is a businessman, a vanya, because there's a four varnas, but he only mentions one varna or two varnas, vipra and shudra, and one ashram. He could have said whether one is a grihasta, because Ramananda Roy is a grihasta or a sannyasi, but he said sudra, the vipra and nyasi. That's him. That's Lord Chaitanya, because one is designated or categorized according to his varna, his ashram. Like people say, what's your gocha, what's your varna? Oh, I'm Baniya. Acha, TK. You know, or whatever. So this is your varna, Baniya, businessman, Vaishya. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, whether one is a Brahmin or a sannyasi, a Shudra, whatever, if he's fully conversant with Krishna Tattva, he's eligible to become guru. Now this is from Prem Vivart, and this is by Jagannanda Pandit. Kiva Varni, Kiva Shrami, Kiva Varnashramahina, Krishna Tattva Jay Se Acharya Pravina Asala Kata Chari Bhai Varne Jay Kari Udar Asad Guru Kari Tanra Vinascha Purvapar. Of course, some people, the Babajis, a lot of the Babajis don't accept this book, Prem Vivart. They say it was written by Bhaktivinoda. But anyway, we say Prem Vivart was written by Jagannanda Pandit, because here he's saying a similar thing. One who is expert in the science of Krishna, whatever social order he may belong to, including Shudra and outcast, because he's saying Varnashram, he's saying Kiva Varni, Kiva Shrami, Kiva Varnashram Hina. He may be Hina without any Varna or Ashram, which just means anyone outside of India is born Varnashram Hina. They're without Varnashram. He's to be accepted as an Acharya. One who ignores this principle and accepts Guru solely on the basis of social position will be ruined. I know our Satyanarayan Das of the Jiva Institute, he was asked sometimes, because he's quite learned and he's teaching classes all the time in English. Yeah. He has a lot of people from Finland, actually, also. Europe, Finland, other countries, they go to see him. Because he's a scholar. He's a Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava Pandit scholar. And he's a nice person. I know him. I mean, he has some opinions about things, but everybody does. And he's outside of ISKCON. But he was asked, he said, well, will you initiate? And he said, no, I can't initiate, because he's Kshatriya by birth. He said, because his guru, Haridas Shastri, is his guru, and he's born Brahmin. And the strict definition of guru is that one, a guru, even Hari Bhakti Vilas says one should accept a guru who is born a Brahmin family. That's the first class. But if that's not available, then these other criteria are there. Someone who knows the Krishna Tattva. But here, it's saying here, even if one's an outcast, but apparently, you know, being very rigid follower of these smarta regulations, basically these are smarta regulations, because Lord Chaitanya is not preaching smarta Vaishnavism. I mean, really smart isn't Vaishnavism, but he's not really preaching smarta principles, he's preaching Siddhanta. So that's what he's saying. It doesn't matter whether even you're a Shudra, but according to smarta, you can't be a Shudra and be a guru. Lord Chaitanya is saying, yes, you can be. And Jagannanda Panda is saying, yes, you can be, even if you have not even Varnashrama. He's even outside Varnashrama. Then this is Padma Puran. Of course, if this is interpolated or what, but anyway, it says Padma Puran. Viva Kshatriya Vaishyascha Gurava Shudra Janmana Shudrascha Gurava's Tesham Trayanam Bhagavat Priya. Padma Puran. And this is explaining that if someone's a Vaishnava, he can be Acharya of all the Varnas because he's dear to Krishna. A Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya can be the guru for the Shudra class. In other words, if someone is a Vaishya and becomes a Brahmin, he can also be a guru for the Shudra, or whether it's a Kshatriya Brahmin. But a Vaishnava, even if born a Shudra, can be the guru of these higher Varnas because he's so dear to the Lord. This is Padma Puran, at least it's indicated here. And the
Confirmed.
Very radically so. Proclaimed with loud kirtan. The wind gods, Vayu, one of the demigods, is pushing that spice container top into kirtan mode. Everything is alive with kirtan in the spiritual world. Even the trees are chanting Hare Krishna or Radhe Radhe. Maybe that was Radhe Radhe, but we couldn't perceive it. But at any rate, and this isn't Padma Puran, so we have a very glaring example of this in the Gaudiya Vaishnava history of Narottam Das Thakur. And he was like Kayast or something. Of course, he bathed in the Padma River and he received Lord Chaitanya's prema and non-ordinary personality. But nevertheless, in terms of external upadhi or designation or social view, he was viewed as lower caste, Kayast, I believe. And he initiated so many Brahmins. And it was a big hue and cry. They became very disturbed. They wanted to kill him even. And there was even a challenge. Some pandas came to challenge Narottam, or I think it was Narottam, and then Ramchandra Kaviraj, or someone they disguised as a betel net salesman and a pot seller.
Oh, and it was supposed to be Sanskrit also.
Yeah. There was some story like this. And then this big pandit came to chastise Narottam for initiating all these people. And then two of his disciples, two of Narottam's disciples, they disguised him. They set up some stands on the road. One was a pan salesman, and the other was a leaf, maybe selling leaf cups or something. And then the pandit came, because I guess he's Sanskrit pandit, so like a little pond or something, came to get his daily pond. And then he had some discussion about Sanskrit. And then he said, my God, you know, you guys know so much Sanskrit. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm from this village. Oh, isn't that the village? I think it was Narottam, I may be mistaken. But he said, oh, you're from that village. Yeah, we're disciples of Narottam. And then this big Digvijay pundit in Sanskrit, he thought, oh my God, if these are disciples, you know, what's he going to be like? So these are some nice verses. An acharya teaches by personal example, and only one who has such a guru can know the truth. Acharya Van Purusha Veda, Chandogya Upanishad 6:14-2. Only one whose guru is an acharya can know the truth. Only one who follows acharya and learns directly from his achar can know things in truth. Well, these are so many nice verses here collected. What is it called? Shishlokamrita, about Guru Tattva. This is a nice chapter you can study. You have some understanding of Guru. This is Vayu Puran. Achinoti yashasartam achare stapayatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyas tena Kirtita. Of course, if you don't have a guru, you can understand from these verses what to look for. And if you have a guru that meets these qualifications, then you can increase your faith and appreciation for such a realized guru that you may be under the shelter of. So it works for both. An acharya is one who fully understands the conclusions of the revealed scriptures, and his behavior reflects his deep realization. So we can think, yes, my guru is like this. My guru fully understands the conclusions of revealed scriptures, and my guru's behavior reflects his deep realization. My guru is a living example because he teaches the meaning of the scriptures both by word and deed. Of course, that was mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, I was wondering if it's getting to that. Actually, all these verses are building up to that. And I was wondering if that was going to happen, and in fact, it does happen. It's all part of the same sequence, because immediately comes to mind when we hear about these descriptions from Shastra. This is called the Tattva-vichara, consideration of Tattva or Siddhanta. But then we want Leela-vichara, we want the example. So Gita gives us lots of philosophy, and Bhagavatam, when the life of the gopis, gives us the example of this type of bhakti that's described in, throughout the Gita. The one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I never lost to them, and they are never lost to me. Right? Yomam pashati sarvacha, sarvam pashati sarvacha. That verse, 6th chapter, verse 30. So that describes the gopis.
Yeah.
Looking everywhere, seeing Krishna in the trees and the plants and the sky and the water and the earth. One, you know, yomam pashati sarvacha, yome pashati. I can't remember, but that's the first part. Yome pashati. It's chapter 6, verse 30. So now, when we hear about these things as someone who preaches nicely and also behaves nicely, to me we remember that Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur. And in fact, that's coming up two verses now. Apanaya chare keha nakare prachar prachara karina keha nakarena achar achar prachara namer karahadui karya tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya arya jagat arya. Like Aryan, Arya Samaj, or the Aryan race, means advanced, spiritually advanced. Jagatera Arya, a most advanced devotee in the world. Sanatana Goswami glorified Haridas. He said, some practice Nam Bhajan, but do not preach the glories of Sri Harinam. Others preach, but do not practice. Everyone should chant Hare Krishna. It's a very good idea. Do you chant Hare Krishna? No. I'm sorry. You, however, Haridas Thakur, perform both duties to Srinam and are perfect in both practice and preaching. Hence, you are Jagat Guru and the foremost personality within this world, for you practice what you preach. Or to put it in common vernacular, hey, Haridas Thakur, man, you walk your talk. Right? Walk your talk. So, this is what we're looking for in guru. Someone that walks their talk. Talks their walk or whatever. They speak properly and act properly according to their realizations.